And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
The Democrats say Sarah Palin is full of scandals and problems with her family and is unfit to be Vice President of the United States. What's behind all of this venom aimed at the Republican vice presidential nominee, Sarah Palin? Oh, we've got a lot for you today here on Power of Prophecy as we look at another volume of secrets. These are the things the mass control media dare not tell you. But we will here at Power of Prophecy because I believe God is stronger than every critic on this planet. And I believe the truth is more powerful than a zillion lies. It was Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the man who suffered so many years in the prison camps of the Soviet Gulag, and wrote of his horrible experiences in the acclaimed book, The Gulag Archipelago, who said, "One word of truth outweighs the whole world." Think of that, friends. One word of truth outweighs the whole world. Well, we're going to have some truths for you today. We're going to discuss the serpent who ate Wall Street. The serpent who ate Wall Street. The Jews and their Orthodox religion continue to honor the Jewish Kabbalah. And hey, somebody sent me a sort of a humorous answer to all of our nation's problems. I think this guy's got it all worked out. Or gal, it may be a gal that sent it to me. She's got it all down. And I want to tell you, it seems totally, it makes sense. Of course, that's probably why the politicians will never adopt it. But the answer to America's current problems, we've got that for you today. Oh, how about Obama? There at the Democratic Convention, 75 to 80,000 at Denver High Stadium, they set the stage up to resemble an ancient Greek temple. What was that all about? The North American Union, is it dead or are they still planning it in the Amarillo besides? Did you know the Vatican is looking up into the heavens with a great telescope? What are they looking for? The Vatican owns a space or star observatory. Did the Zionists secretly send three or four thugs to Denver, Colorado to assassinate Barack Obama? We'll discuss that. The Club of Rome's moving, and down in Florida, they're helping the kids to have more access to condoms. Oh, yeah. And we've got a lot more for you about, for example, the quite famous televangelist in the charismatic field from Florida and California, who says that the next world war and the year of God's completion is here. Oh, I forgot to mention, this was from his newsletter dated June of 2007. And the gentleman said that 2007 was the year of God's completion of all things. Another televangelist bites the dust, quite obviously. Well, let's go right away to Sarah Palin. She's been chosen as the vice presidential nominee of Senator McCain, John McCain of Arizona. She's governor of the state of Alaska. We know that. She's been governor for around 2 years. Before that, she was mayor of a small Alaskan town. She's been chairman of that state, Alaska, very important job. It's Oil and Gas Commission. So she knows about the oil and gas industry and the need for making America energy independent. And I'd like to talk a little bit about Sarah Palin. First of all, I'm going to tell you right away, don't make any mistake in your thinking. Don't be persuaded by the liars and devils on our network television programs. This woman, Sarah Palin, is the most qualified of anybody I've seen running for office in my lifetime for president. She deserves to be president of the United States based on her resume. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. You say, Tex, you've never said anything like that before. Well, we've never had a candidate for office like Sarah Palin before. She's the best there is. And she makes the other three idiots and socialist, McCain, Biden, and Obama, look silly. She's so competent. Many years ago, maybe some of you said, well, I never thought I'd hear a Christian leader saying that about a woman. Well, listen, dear friends, there's a lot of women leaders in the Bible. The Bible, I'm convinced, says that women shouldn't teach men in church. It does say that. That's what the Apostle Paul said. But this, to use an East Texas colloquialism, this ain't church. And there's some competent women around. Should they be home taking care of their kids? Yeah, it would be better. But, you know, we've already perverted that option. We've already got professional women running around everywhere. I'm not saying that's the way it should be. I was an Air Force officer at the time, and, you know, my first 10 or 12 years in the Air Force, I almost never saw a woman. Suddenly, they begin to bring all these women in. And I'll tell you, it wasn't too pleasant. You say, what do you mean it wasn't too pleasant? Well, because, you know, suddenly there was guys and gals having sex in closets at work instead of doing their jobs, and all kind of problems came up. And breakups of marriages because, you know, a man and a woman in uniform were sent off on some, you know, secluded military site together and ended up having sex. And I tell you, it was a mess when I was in there in the military. With women in the military. I opposed women in the military. But, hey, I wasn't commander-in-chief, and it was decided, and it was given to us. I made the best of it, and, you know, some of the women were absolutely fabulous. I don't think women should be in uniform fighting our nation's wars. We got enough slackers out there and lazy dudes that need to be put in uniform to be good for them. But, hey, that wasn't my choice. It wasn't your choice. Now we have women in uniform, and some of them are doing some fantastic jobs. Let's give them credit. Should we change the system? If we could, I would, but it's there. It's there. So we're going to have to live with it. Back to Sarah Palin. Look, Alaska, the biggest state in the union, 583,000 acres. And according to Governor Palin, there's all kinds of oil and gas hiding out in all those acres. She wants more exploration. And she wants that little tiny reserve called Anwar that they keep nibbling about, mincing words about. She says that's nothing compared to all the rest of the oil in this state. And she wants us to start drilling for it. Now, friends, on the north slope of Alaska, there's more oil than is found in Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, and 50 other oil-rich nations. Did you hear what I said? In Alaska alone. And I hope Governor Palin tells the truth about this. I believe she will during this election campaign. Here's the problem. She is hated by the oil companies. Why? She wants to drill for oil and make America independent. You say, well, Tex, the oil companies want that too. Shut up! You don't know what you're talking about. The oil companies, ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, or some of the biggies up in Alaska. In fact, ConocoPhillips has a huge building right next to the governor's offices in Alaska, in their capital city. They built a huge building for their offices right next to the governor's. But I'm telling you, they hate Sarah Palin. Why does ConocoPhillips and ExxonMobil hate this woman? Here's the answer. She wants to drill for oil, and the oil companies do not. Now, I know you think that's silly, don't you? But there's farmers out there that have farm fields that are empty. And you know, you could put peanuts and corn and wheat there, but they're left unformed. Did you hear what I said? There are no crops in those fields. Would you like to know why? Because the government gives free multi-million dollar subsidies to the farmers not to plant things. They want shortages. They desire shortages. Can you get the message? They don't want a lot of food for people to eat because it would be too cheap at the food store. This is begun by the communists under Roosevelt. They went and started paying farmers millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars not to plant. I was talking to a man one time, an Air Force sergeant. I said, "Sergeant, when you get out of the Air Force, what do you plan to do?" He said, "Well, I want to go home to Enid, Oklahoma, and I'd like to buy me a peanut farm. I was raised on a farm, and I want to become a peanut farmer when I retire." Well, I think that's admirable. I said, "Well, I think that's wonderful." He said, "The only thing is the land where you can get a government approval, a permit to plant peanuts, it costs 10 times as much as the other land next door to it." I said, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about." He said, "Don't you know? There are certain plots of land that have been approved for peanuts. Then the government says all this other land you can't plant peanuts." I said, "Well, you go buy your piece of land, just plant the peanuts. Do what you want to do." He said, "Oh, you can't do that. They'll put you in prison. They've only got certain swaths of land that's approved for peanuts. They want to keep the price up," he said. "So they don't let just anybody plant peanuts. Only the approved farmers and their plots." Well, I never heard of things. "Oh, yeah, they pay a lot of farmers not to plant peanuts." I said, "Well, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen." "No, it's not so crazy. That's why peanut butter costs $3 or $4 for a little bitty jar." Buy some Peter Pan or Jif peanut butter. $3 or $4 for a little jar of peanut butter. It's because they keep the price high. The oil companies do not want to drill. They own millions of acres out in our coastal land. They say, "If only we could drill for more oil out in the water off, you know, the coast of the Atlantic and the Pacific. Woe is us. We poor oil companies, the environmentalists, don't want us to drill there. There's nothing we can do about it. Those powerful environmental lobbies in Congress are keeping us from drilling. So we're just going to have to keep the price of oil sky high because we don't have enough of it. And it's a real scarce resource, and we're going to drive the price high. But we have to because they won't let us drill for more oil." Do you get it? I did some original research years ago, and I discovered something interesting. I wanted to know who founded and who gives most of the money contributions to groups like Sierra Club, Nature Conservancy, Greenpeace, all of these environmental groups. Who's really behind them? You know what I found? The oil corporations. They have executives who head up the Sierra Club and all these other groups. And they're there because of the money given to them by the oil companies. The oil companies sponsor, organize, and fund to this day the largest of the environmental organizations. So that the environmental organizations can go to Congress and say, "No drilling for oil. We want to save Mother Earth. We want to protect our waterlands. Oh, we cannot protect the elk and the deer and the spotted serpent and the endangered cockroaches of Puerto Rico or something. We can't possibly drill for oil. We would despoil the environment." And in their little corporate boardrooms behind their mahogany panel walls, the CEO and the chairman of the board and the board of directors of Conoco, Phillips, Shell, British Petroleum, Texaco, ExxonMobil are laughing and laughing and laughing. The more environmentalism is effective, the less oil that can be drilled for and the higher the price. Wouldn't you like to have oil at $120, $140 a barrel? Well, if there was no environmentalism, it would probably be $5 a barrel. It's the environmentalist with the help of the oil companies in their collusions together that have driven up the price of oil and gasoline. You'd be paying probably 30 or 40 cents a gallon if it weren't for the oil companies organizing, funding, sponsoring, promoting the environmental movement. Sarah Palin knows that. And when the oil companies would not build a pipeline through Alaska, she said then the state of Alaska will. We'll build our own pipeline. They didn't want one. She built it. They must hate that woman. The oil companies. They're going to be exposed for being the greedy, corrupt devils they are. And here's another thing, the reason she's hated. The pro-life movement. Think about this woman. She's had 5 kids. She doesn't believe in abortion. She's a pro-life Christian. One of her children has Down syndrome. I'm very sympathetic about that. She could have just aborted it, but she didn't. She's taking care of that baby. This woman deserves some credit, but the crazy, nutty, liberal, pro-choice, really pro-death people out there, they hate her for it. 5 children, you didn't have an abortion with your Down syndrome baby? Oh, you're such a terrible person. You're harming Mother Earth with your children. Cluck, cluck, cluck. The Whoopi Goldbergs, the Rosie O'Donnells, the Barbara Walters must be doing flip-flops. They're so angry at this woman. How dare a pro-life candidate be chosen? Biden is pro-death, pro-abortion. Obama actually sponsored legislation, favored it, voted for it, for partial birth abortion when he was in the Illinois legislature. Not just abortion, but taking live babies out of the womb and smashing their heads up against the wall. He favored that. Or taking a baby out of the womb that was still alive, putting it on the shelf till it bled to death from its umbilical cord. Then you could throw it away as waste in the trash can of the hospital. He voted for that, Obama. He's a monster. He smiles. He's handsome. His wife is attractive. His kids are attractive. But he is a mass murderer. I will never vote for a mass murderer. I don't care how attractive, how much they smile, how Harvard educated they are. He is a devil at heart. Unless he repents of that serial murder that he's responsible for with his partial birth abortion. And by the way, the guy's going to every homo group, every gay group he can get a hold of and telling them, when I'm president, he says, gays will get everything they want. No more don't ask, don't tell in the military. Gays can go in. Even transgendered people. You can be a man acting like a woman with a wig on, wearing a dress, and they'll let you be a soldier. Under Obama. Gay marriage, you better believe it, all over America, Barack Obama. But what does Sarah Palin say about homosexuals' agenda, about gay marriage? She says, flat out, no. Good for her. But that means Whoopi Goldberg is going to curse her out. That means Rosie O'Donnell is going to go through the roof. That means Barbara Wawa Walters is going to say, well, this isn't right. She's against homosexuals. Ellen DeGeneres might have to get a divorce from her latest lover, Portia de Rossi. Her lesbian lover. By the way, she's also in favor of the Second Amendment of the Constitution, Miss Sarah Palin is. She's a hunter. I'm not a hunter myself. I think I'm just not for hunting. I don't know. If you're going to eat it, okay, kill it. But you better eat it. Because if you're out there doing it for sport and fun and recreation and leaving a dead animal out there, you're nothing but a devil yourself. If you want to go out hunting and you bring back some game that you can eat, that's great. If you want to go out there and kill it or trap it so you can have some fur for greed, well, got a little bit of Satan in you, pal. Oh, Tex, you're against hunting. Yes, I am. But if you go out deer hunting and you eat the venison meat, good for you. Good for you. I'm not for sports hunting just to kill things. That's what I'm against. I'm for hunting for meat to eat. Even God said all food is good if eaten with thanksgiving. I'm not a vegetarian. But don't go out there and say, I'm going to go out and kill a bunch of rabbits out in the fields just for fun. I'm going to shoot a bunch of rabbits. I don't like rabbit meat. I just leave them out there dead. You know what? I'd like to take you and send you out naked into the woods. I'd like to go hunting for you, fella. You see how it feels, being the hunted, for no reason at all. I'm sure I'm going to get some letters on this, Jerry. Jerry is my radio engineer. I'm sure I'm going to get some letters from hunters. Say, there's nothing wrong with killing rabbits and coons and, you know, deer and just leaving them out there in the wild. Baloney. You just love to kill things. You ought to repent of your sin, of killing things. Again, I'm not against hunting. I'm against recreational killing. And if you don't like that, friends, well, then you can tune to another channel. But I hope you'll stay and listen to some more truths. This woman is a member of the National Rifle Association, and she says the Second Amendment is in the Constitution, and she's going to support it, the right to keep and bear arms. She's a member of the Assembly God Church, a Christian believer. When she was mayor of this little town up there, she fired the librarian. She fired the town librarian. Why? Because they were putting porno trash books and magazines in the library. And she says, when I'm mayor, there will be no pornographic trash in this library. The librarian, you know, she was probably about like Laura Bush. Well, I think it's okay, free speech. It's okay to have pornographic material in the library. You're fired, lady. She fired her. She held accountable corrupt politicians. A senator and a governor went down in flames because of this woman. She chaired the Ethics Commission, and she did them in. She chaired the Oil and Gas Commission, and the oil company executives scurried around like little rats hiding in holes from her. Because she's honest. Because she had integrity. Now, it could be that the McCain forces will gather around her and corrupt her. Promise her all kind of things. And some say, someday you'll be president. And pretty soon she'll be compromising all of her principles. That may happen. I don't know. I'm just telling you right now, based on this woman's record. Now, I heard somebody say of one of these talking heads on one of these talk shows, well, Sarah Palin, they hate calling her governor. Sarah Palin, she was mayor of this little bitty town of 9,000 people. What would a mayor of a little town know? How would that qualify her? Hey, I got news for you, buddy. Most Americans do live in little towns and small towns, and there's some pretty smart people out there listening to Power of Prophecy Radio today in a small town. Every day I open up the newspapers, the mayor of Cleveland had an affair and spent all kind of city money on his affair, and then he lied to prosecutors about the misuse of city money. And Rudy Giuliani's police commissioner had two or three women he was keeping in apartments, paying with city money, police money. What was Mayor Giuliani doing? Of a big city. Oh, yeah. The mayor of Cleveland, Detroit, all these big cities, they're all corrupt. Let me tell you something, dear friends. There's hundreds, there's thousands of small towns throughout America that have some good mayors. And it's time we promoted those people rather than these no good, filthy rats that are in places like Denver, Cleveland, Houston. And look at that Ray Noggin of New Orleans. after Katrina. What a horrible job that guy did there, the mayor of New Orleans, a big city. And afterwards, he says he invited all the blacks to come back. The guy is a racist pig, and he invited the black people to come back, didn't say anything about the white people. He said New Orleans is going to remain a chocolate city. Huh? I mean, right then, the guy should have been, I mean, they should have taken billy clubs and drove him out of town. He's still mayor. They voted for him again the next time. So the mayor of a small town's not qualified, but Mayor Nagin, mayor of the chocolate city of failed, totally ruined New Orleans. Of course, it was ruined even more before Katrina with their Mardi Gras and their sexual excesses and homosexuals on every street corner, their liquor, their illegal gambling, their deviltry everywhere in that city, voodoo, Santeria, witchcraft all over the city of New Orleans. And this mayor saying this is going to remain, New Orleans is going to remain a chocolate city. Yeah, a devil's chocolate city. Now, I don't care if Mayor Nagin is black, white, Mexican. All I know is he's corrupt and he's incompetent. And I think some people are making a big mistake by knocking somebody who comes from a small town. I come from a small town. Population 9 or 10,000, Port Neches, Texas. I've driven through America many times and I've stopped at these small towns. And I'll tell you, I've met some smart, intelligent people. And I wouldn't even associate with those crime-ridden mayors of big cities like New York, Philadelphia. I don't even want to talk to them. I don't even want to go to lunch with them. I don't spend a moment of my time with them. I like the little towns. I know there's some big cities, too, that are okay. There's some mayors of the big cities that are okay. Not many. Not many. Okay, let's look at all. Let's look at all of this. She's pro-life. She's pro-Second Amendment. She's a Christian believer. She's against pornography in libraries. She's for an energy-independent America. She's against gay marriage. No wonder the Whoopi Goldbergs and the Ellen DeGeneres and the New York Times and NBC, CBS, MSNBC, the Rosie O'Donnells, the Geraldine Ferraros, the Dianne Feinsteins, the Barbara Boxers, the Hillary Rodham Clintons. This woman is 100 times the women worth as much as these people are. In fact, you can take the whole boatload of these people and send them over to Israel to live. Most of them are Jews anyway. You say, Tex, that's not true. Well, Whoopi Goldberg is a pretend Jew. That's why she changed her name to Goldberg. Then there's Barbara Walters. She's Jewish. Barbara Boxer's Jewish. Dianne Feinstein is Jewish. Gloria Steinem is Jewish. Some Christian evangelicals say God wants all the Jews to return to Israel. Okay, well, send them. I'll pay their way. I mean, I'll go out and work weekends digging ditches to pay the way. If Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, Whoopi Goldberg, and Barbara Walters will agree to catch an airplane to Israel and never come back, I'll dig ditches to see it happen. And Hillary Rodham Clinton, too, because she's Jewish. I've exposed that before. Her grandmother spoke Yiddish in her home. If Hillary will agree to go to Tel Aviv and stay in Israel the rest of her life, I'll dig ditches to pay the airplane ticket. We got a lot more secrets. I think I'll let Governor Sarah Palin rest when we come back because I've got so much more to talk about. Hey, stay with us. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hey, this is Tex Mars again, president of Power of Prophecy Ministries in Austin, Texas. It's great to be with you each week at this time. You know, we're on radio 24/7. That's 7 days a week at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. We have a sister site, and we're on radio there 7 days a week. Perfect Clarity at conspiracyworld.com. We have a lot of books, audio tapes, CDs, video documentaries that we offer you. And we actually have dozens, scores of articles you can read absolutely free. And several videos as well, a number of videos you can watch free of charge. Okay? Of course, we always have to remind people, yes, of course, we can't give away everything free. If we could, well, I guess we'd have to ask God for to tell people to give more. That might not be a bad idea, just give everything away free and ask for public support. I say public support, I mean Christian support. But we have so many lovely people who do give to the ministry. Now, if you were to look, and let me affirm this, over the last 5 years alone, we have lost money in this ministry 4 out of 5 years, I believe. I think that's pretty correct. 4 out of 5 years, we have lost money. But wait, God comes into the picture. We have lost money if you look at our business operations. The income we have received from selling books, audio tapes, CDs, videos. We didn't make enough money to pay for our expenses. We keep our expenses down to the bone because I believe in being a good steward. Nevertheless, we actually lost money. But then, good people, knowing that we are the, as far as I can tell, the only Christian ministry in the world today, standing up 100% for truth, exposing evildoers. I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican or black or white or brown. It doesn't matter with Power of Prophecy. Doesn't matter with God either. You're either on God's team or you're not. And by the way, we don't want to kill you because you're not on God's team. We want you to live. That's why we believe in peace. We're against wars. Say, Tex, that seems strange. You were an Air Force officer. You retired after a full career in the U.S. Air Force. You know, serving over in Asia and Europe throughout the United States. You mean you're a peaceful man? Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe the United States military should be for one purpose and one purpose only, to defend the continental United States, to defend this nation and its people. I'm not for fighting some war 10,000 miles away in a place called Vietnam or Iran or Iraq. Let those people fight their own wars. I'm for closing the borders of this country and for protecting our people. Oh, the tourists can come in and see this marvelous country, but I don't want illegal aliens coming in. And I would not allow it if I were president. Shut them down. How about bringing the American troops home from 130 nations where they're stationed now? Put them on the border with Mexico and Canada. Have them checking ships that are coming on. Look for cargoes of drugs and bombs and illegal weapons and so forth. Put them to work doing that. Don't put them on the streets of Baghdad so they can have their legs blown off by IEDs. I'm an Air Force officer, retired, but I'm telling you something, friends. I'm an American Air Force officer. Did you notice I emphasized the American? I'm not an Iraqi or an Israeli Air Force officer. I'm an Air Force officer, American, retired. And that makes all the difference in the world. Now, here's the upshot of what I'm telling you. The reason this ministry survives is because of the love gifts and offerings and donations given to it by people just like you. $5, $10, $20, $100. We rarely have huge gifts, I mean, big gifts. If when we get $100, we're pleased. If we get $1,000, we're just stunned and grateful to God. And it all goes into the same bank account and pays all our expenses here. Wanda and I, Wanda works with me, here in the ministry. She's vice president. And, you know, we just decided we're not going to take a salary. If this ministry doesn't make any money one year, well, then we're not going to take a salary. We'll only get paid if people are good enough to give enough to the ministry to pay all the expenses and have something left over. That leftover money is what we get. That's it. That's it. Some people have asked me, well, how about the royalties you get from selling your books? I get no royalties. I don't receive any royalties. If Mysterious Monuments, my newest book, goes out there and sells a lot of copies, it all goes into the ministry. I don't get any royalties for it. We were audited 4 years by the IRS, and they were shocked. They asked for records of all of my trips. They thought, I guess, surely this man's like televangelist and such. Remember, you know, he's head of this Christian ministry. He probably goes to Las Vegas and Paris, France, and you know. Well, I said, well, I don't go on these foreign trips and such. He said, well, who pays for all your vacations? I said, I pay for my vacations. But I don't go to Las Vegas, by the way. He said, who pays for your car? Does the ministry pay for your automobile? I said, no, I pay for my automobile. The guy couldn't believe it. He asked for all of our financial records for 4 years, and we gave it to the auditor from the IRS. They finished the audit. We owed not one dime to the IRS. Not one dime. I'm sure that guy was shocked. How many ministries can say they were audited by the IRS for 4 years and ended up not owing one dime? That was us. There was one thing they didn't like. The IRS said they did not like our philosophy and viewpoints. They didn't like our message. Had nothing wrong with your finances, but we don't like what you're teaching and preaching there. Yeah, well, that's too bad for you, IRS. So long, boys. Now, I'm not offering a book or a tape or a video right now. I'm just here to thank you. Thank you for keeping Power of Prophecy in the black. Thank you for keeping us alive. This radio message is going around the world. Our books, tapes, videos are going around the world because of you and your giving. As I said, as far as our sales goes, we don't make enough to meet expenses. But because wonderful people are giving to this ministry, you're not rich. We don't have the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds giving money here, believe me. We have what I call the little people. I like the little people. I'm a little person myself. I told you earlier, I come from a small town. My dad was a working man. He was a union man. Worked for a chemical refinery. Maybe it wasn't the best place to work. There were these chemical odors of a noxious nature. And after working there about 12 or 15 years at that chemical plant that was owned, by the way, by U.S. Rubber Corporation out in Port Neches, Texas, my dad couldn't smell anymore. It had totally destroyed his nasal ability to smell. Couldn't smell a thing. He was out of the way till the day he died. Today, they'd run off to court and get a $50 million settlement against the company. My dad did nothing. He just kept working. He worked a full, you know what, 30-some-odd years, and they gave him a gold watch and retired him. And he was proud of that gold watch, too, I might add. Every once in a while, I'd go visit my dad. He'd say, son, if I showed you that gold watch I got from my company for working there so long and retiring, I said, yeah, you've shown me that, Dad. He said, oh, yeah, that's right, I did show you that. He'd forget, you know, that he had already shown it to me. He was proud of that, working man. I was the first of six kids to go to college. I was the fifth in age, but the first to go to college. I was the first to finish high school. I believe in the American dream, and I want to keep it that way. That's why I have this ministry too. I believe in freedom of religion. And if you have freedom of religion, dear friends, you're going to tell people about Jesus Christ. That's why I love America. So far, we do have freedom of religion. Now they want to stop us. I mean, there's all kind of agencies out there that would like to stop Power of Prophecy. I mean, we've had FBI agents come over and just check on us from time to time. I'm sure they'd love to catch us. You know, I don't know whether they hear stories or rumors. Probably these crazy commie liberals out there writing the IRS and the FBI saying, check out Tex Mars. He's a dangerous terrorist threat to America. And they come here and all they can find are some very sweet people that are Christian people. And I'd say, sit down and have a cup of coffee with me. You know, they haven't found any machine guns here yet. They haven't found any bomb-making material yet on our premises. But they have found some beautiful. In fact, the Lord's Prayer is on the wall in my office. So if the FBI wants to come by and visit me, well, maybe I can get them to read it once. Our Father, which art in heaven, etc. It's on my office wall. I look at it every day. Going in and out of my office, I see the Lord's Prayer. What a powerful thing. What a powerful thing. Now, I'm going to reveal myself here because on another wall I have a picture of my cat. It's not my cat. It's the ministry's cat. Jerry's over here laughing. We have a ministry cat. I found it just... Oh, it was just shivering under the building outside here. It was a very cold day in the winter, and I found this poor little kitty underneath there. I felt so sorry for it. I reached under there to grab hold of it. I was going to bring it into the warmth and give it a little saucer of milk, and man, that cat just reared up. It was going to attack me, little bitty kitty cat. I mean, it was only about 4 inches, must have been more than four, but it was the smallest of kittens. But I did entice it into the building. I felt so sorry for it. I knew it'd freeze to death that night, so cold in the midst of winter. And we enticed it to come and drink a saucer of milk, and it stayed around. And now this cat, it thinks it owns the ministry. I got a real problem with this cat. It goes anywhere it wants. I'm trying to write on my book, and it jumps in front of my, plops down on my papers, and Jerry's over there working on the websites, and it jumps on his typewriter keys. That cat's trouble. But anyway, I love the cat. So one of the ladies who work here, she painted a picture of the cat for me. It's, you know, sort of in the shelf, laying on a shelf with a bunch of my books. Very, very appropriate. Okay, so some people are going to write me a letter. Tex, you're one of those crazy cat lovers. Yeah, I guess. I really didn't like cats. I got a dog. But this cat sort of gets into your heart. It comes up and meows and wants food and treats and all that, you know. I mean, you got to like that kind of a cat. It's never bitten me. It's a sweet little cat. How long have we had that cat, Prissy, Jerry? 4 years now? Hey, it's trouble too. Remember the time that skunk got after it? Boy, that we came to work the next day. The cat came in the building, and man, did it ever smell. Evidently a skunk. It had gone after a skunk, or a skunk had got after it. And boy, that odor was unbelievable. We had to take her to a veterinarian. I don't know whether they cleaned her with tomato ketchup or what they did, or tomato juice. But boy, what a smell that cat had. Just messed up our whole ministry. Well, enough of the cats. But thank you so much for your love gifts to the ministry. And yes, I am going to admit that we do buy a little bit of cat food with the love gifts. Yeah, that's a tiny part of our budget. Maybe, you know, I don't know, a few dollars a month. But yeah, we feed the cat. We do feed the cat. Okay, let's return to our regular program. Of course, you're listening to Power of Prophecy with Tex Mars. The Cat Lovers Program. Well, it's not really Cat Lovers Program, but I like to tell people who I am, Jerry. Jerry Barrett, he's over here. He has a voice just like mine. Sometimes I threaten to put him on the radio and let him teach or preach because his voice sounds just like mine. It's actually a better voice than mine. Hey, I just got Business Week magazine. And it's interesting. It has a picture of the Ouroboros serpent, the same one that's on the cover of my book, Codex Magica. This vicious serpent in a circle, swallowing its own tail. What's it doing on the cover of Business Week? Well, inside it is the feature article title. It says, this is the cover now, Business Week. This serpent in a circle. And in the middle of the serpent in the circle, it says, how Wall Street ate the economy. How Wall Street ate the economy. Well, I think that's very appropriate because the Wall Street bankers did eat the economy, and they have caused a crash here in America. And we offer an audio tape you might want to get a copy of called Crash, telling you who's responsible for the demise of the stock market. It's in a bear market right now. But more than that, the real estate crash, the drive up in the price of oil and food, and the price of water, all these schemes, including the North American Union Amero currency, I expose it on that CD or audio tape. Take your pick. You can order that crash. Just call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. By the way, if you'd like to give a love gift to the ministry, you can use your charge card, Visa, MasterCard, Discover. Just call up toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, and say, I'd like to give a donation. I'd like to give a love gift or an offering to TexMars Ministry. We'd so much appreciate your help. But again, Business Week magazine, how Wall Street ate the economy. Did they ever? Well, according to a news brief from the Jerusalem Post, now put out by Jews newspaper, Jewish academia is looking seriously at the Kabbalah. According to this article, it says that the Jews are now favoring, the religious Jews, are now favoring the same religion which the Pharisees practiced during the time of Jesus' ministry. Israel then is now embracing that same occult religion that's responsible for planning Jesus' death and that of his disciples as well. Listen to this. Jerusalem Post starts by saying this. Now, this isn't TexMars. This is the Jerusalem Post, one of the most so-called respected newspapers in all of Israel. And I quote, red strings, holy water, talismans, and other New Age Kabbalistic paraphernalia may seem like so much spiritual mumbo jumbo to some, but a growing number of Jewish university scholars are beginning to accept and acknowledge the modern expressions of Kabbalah. Wow. The Kabbalah. The Jewish rabbis are accepting it now. Well, of course. For a little while, they act, we're so holy, we're so moral. But you've got to understand, their holy book, the most holy book of the Jews, is not the Old Testament. Jesus said, you have your traditions, and you make devils of your disciples through your man-made traditions. And where are they contained at? In, listen to this, the Talmud. The Babylonian Talmud is actually the official law book, the formal book of law for the Jews. When they have a religious dispute or question, they go to their Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud. They don't go to the Old Testament. And they believe in this Jewish system of magic and satanic ritual called the Kabbalah. Now, according to the Jerusalem Post, more and more Jewish Orthodox rabbis and academics are going toward the Kabbalah. Now, would you like to know the Kabbalah's connection with the satanic secret society called Freemasonry? Okay, well, we just turned to Albert Pike's book. Albert Pike, former Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry, he's the guy that wrote the book that included all the 32 and then finally the 33rd degree rituals for Freemasonry. Morals and Dogma is the name of his book. It's a classic textbook for Masons. Listen to what he says on page 741 of his book. Pike writes, quote, Freemasonry is a search that leads us directly back to the Kabbalah. Ah, yes. We have a whole video series exposing the Kabbalah. You can order that also toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Listen to this. Did you know that the Kabbalah is the Jewish version of the ancient mystery religions? Mm-hmm. That's right. Kabbalah comes right out of the ancient mystery religions. That's why in my book, Mysterious Monuments, I also expose the Jewish Kabbalah and show that much of the occult architecture we have today comes out of the Jewish Kabbalah. Hey, got something for you here, just real quick. My sister sent me this. She said it makes sense. I want to know what you think. This must be going around, on the internet. Maybe you've heard it. But it's some person's suggestion on how we can solve our problems. Here in America, we have illegal immigration, hurricanes, and trying to recover from them. Alligators attacking people in Florida. Well, this person has the solution. And here it is. You ready? It's a win-win solution. First, dig a moat the length of the Mexican border. All along the Mexican border, dig a great moat, all right, like a canal, all along the Mexican border. Now, there'll be piles of dirt that you dig up from that moat or that canal all along the Mexican border with the United States. So send the dirt to New Orleans to raise the level of the levees. That's right. Send all the dirt you get from the canal moat, the length of the Mexican border, send that to raise the level of the levees in New Orleans so the water from the hurricanes can't get in. Now, what about those alligators down in Florida that are chomping on people's arms and such? Okay, go hunting and capture them live and take all the Florida alligators and put them in the moat along the Mexican border. Think about that. Illegal aliens come across the moat or the Rio Grande. We got some alligators ready to feast on you. That solves the illegal immigration problem. Solves the New Orleans Katrina-like problems. I'm telling you, friends, we need some original thinking, and that sounds like a pretty good idea there. Okay. Hey, in my book, Mysterious Monuments, I expose the fact that all of this satanic architecture, this architectural colossus going up across the world, that in fact it is part of the ancient mystery religion system. These are ancient Greek, Roman, Egyptian temples of religion. Wasn't it interesting that Barack Obama at Denver's Mile High Stadium, when he accepted the nomination for the high political office of the President of the United States from the Democrat Party, they built up these steps up to this podium that he could speak from, and the whole stage resembled an ancient Greek temple, pillars and all. Obama's speech stage resembled an ancient Greek temple with its elaborate columns and so forth. And you know, this was even picked up by the Associated Press and Reuters news agencies. I have a news item from ABC.com. It says, from Denver, Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama's big speech on Thursday night will be delivered from an elaborate column stage resembling a miniature Greek temple. In my book, Mysterious Monuments, an occultic mason says that is our goal, to recreate Greece. The ancient wonders and magic of Greece. He says the spirits have talked to him. His name is Jeffrey Hodson. He wrote a book called Brotherhood of Angels and Men. He's talking about dark angels. He says the spirits say, quote, we are going to help you to build fair cities, monuments, and statues, and America will become even greater than Greece was. Where they had the ancient mystery religion, now America will be heir to Greece. And did you know, dear friends, that in the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verses 5 through 21, after saying there will be four great kingdoms on planet Earth, and the fourth will be more vicious, evil, and will spread over the whole world, and the man of evil, the Antichrist, will come up and be ruler over it. And it depicts that great last day's kingdom there in the book of Daniel as the kingdom of the he-goat. And it says, from this he-goat, this horrible goat god, and I believe that's Baphomet, the Freemasons and the Templars, it will come out of Greece. A lot of people say, is the last day's kingdom going to come out of Europe, the European community? I get that question all the time. It will come, the Bible says in the book of Daniel, chapter 8, out of Greece. And what do the devils tell this occult mason, Mr. Jeffrey Hodson, and I quote him in my book, Mysterious Monuments? They say, quote, we are Greece reincarnate. You see how it's coming together? Now, I know you've never had another prophecy teacher tell you that the last day's kingdom would be a reincarnated Greece. But isn't that the reason Obama, for some reason, did the devils tell the Democrats, stage the nomination of our presidential candidate with a huge Greek temple behind him so that the whole world could see it? Indeed, I believe that's exactly the thing. Hey, we're running out of time now, but I wanted to tell you that the Vatican's chief astronomer says that aliens, that's extraterrestrials from outer space, may well exist, and that doesn't contradict faith in God. The Reverend Jose Gabriel Funes, the Jesuit director of the Vatican Observatory, they have an entire observatory watching the heavens 24 hours a day. They're spending millions of dollars to watch the starry skies. What are they waiting for? What are they looking for? It was Jesus who said of Lucifer or Satan, behold, I saw Lucifer like lightning fall from heaven. Oh yes, the occultists call Lucifer the morning star. And they say like a star, he will swoosh down from the heavens to earth to bring about his last day's new order of the ages. The Vatican's looking for something. They have an observatory. And here's something interesting. The Reverend, this Catholic priest, Reverend Jose Gabriel Funes, from the Vatican newspaper, the Roman Observer, says this. He says, quote, the extraterrestrial is my brother. A spokesman from the Vatican, from the Vatican's observatory, says, the extraterrestrial is my brother. Well, we're about out of time. I wish I could talk about these men that were arrested in Denver. At first, the headlines came out and said that they were planning the assassination of Obama and they were white supremacists. I believe they may have well been paid by the Zionist Mossad to kill Obama, but they were caught in time by the Denver police. And then they denied it all and there wasn't enough proof and they just let them all go. Or maybe the Israeli Mossad intervened. Or the Bush White House intervened and asked the Denver police to let them go. Can't you just see it happening if Obama really is assassinated? They'll blame it on white supremacists. They'll blame it. They want a race war. They want turmoil, chaos. Ordo ab chao is their slogan. Hey, listen, I'm not for Obama, for one thing, because he's an abortionist. I'm not for McCain either. He's a warmonger. But listen to me. We must pray for these people. I believe in praying for them. I don't want any harm to come to Obama from some assassin. And I'm just afraid that might be the case. Pray for him. If you don't want him in office, vote against him. But do pray for his life and safety. I think that's our Christian duty. This is Tex Mars. It's been a delight being with you today here on Power of Prophecy. And my prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time here on Worldwide Christian Radio and discover the power of prophecy.